No Jumper, sharpest podcast in the world. And today, we got my man Cookie Man. Hey, Cookie Man, what the fuck's up, man?
What's up, cuz?
How you feeling?
I feel good. Thanks for having me.
Man, hey, I'm glad for you to be here, man. You know, so a little bit about yourself, man. You know, you are one of the first black owners of a dispensary other than Keith Purpleheart when I looked it up.
Right. I'm definitely the first ex-felon for selling weed to have a cannabis club anywhere in the world.
Ex-felon?
Yes, for selling cannabis.
For selling cannabis. How the fuck did you even manage to even get through something like that?
Man, perseverance and resilience, brother.
Yeah.
And just being me.
Man, bro, how do you even obtain something like that?
Oakland had a program called the Social Equity Program where they gave people who had cannabis offenses chances at ownership in the cannabis space.
Right. And weren't you one of the first dispensaries to gain that, to obtain that?
I applied for it. We won January 31st, 2018, and we opened November 24th, 2018.
So explain to me again, like, what is this program and what does it do? What do you do? How do you get into this program? What's it for?
Exactly? So the exact thing that the equity program was to do was to give people like me who had caught marijuana cases a chance at owning something legally in the marijuana space because it's legal now. How to get in, you just apply. There's certain criteria you have to fit to apply, and then once you apply, they put you in a bingo ball lottery, roll the balls around. If they pick your ball, you lost. If you was one of the four remaining balls, you won a license. That's how I won my license, literally.
Damn, man. See, I wish I could go get me a license and shit like that, man. See, they don't just, they don't ever say, it sounds easy, you just throw yourself in a motherfucking lottery.
No. I mean, you had to have history in cannabis. You had to, because you had to come up with a business plan. You had to have an odor mitigation plan. You had to have security structures. So you had to have some form of a business knowledge. But the kind of fucked up part was when I got the license, they didn't have no money available. So you gave a person a $1 billion license. In a $1 billion industry with maybe $20 worth of education. Yeah. Now, me personally, me and my previous partner, we had business savvy.
Right.
But 95% of the people that get into this space that look like this don't have the business savvy.
Yeah, you had said in 2003, I believe it was, you said you tried to become a dispensary owner and they told you that as a black man, you'd never own one?
Yes. So 2003, we tried to open our first club, me and my cousins. We had been stacking money. I had been working at dispensaries 3-4 years, so I knew the game, and I knew I never saw no Negroes.
Right.
It was only security or at the register.
Yeah.
And flat out, I heard from a couple of people, white, Indian, I don't know what to say Indian. I don't know, what do you call Indians? I don't know what you call them, whatever.
Middle Eastern,
there we go.
Middle Eastern,
and they would always say, Negroes won't own in this space. Shout out to Keith Stevenson. He was the first person that owned a cannabis club that was black.
He also goes by what, Keith Purpleheart, I believe?
Keith Purpleheart, yeah. And he opened his in 2006. And I didn't even know nothing about that. And I've been trying to open one 2003. Had money, had location, but was just kind of like told we couldn't do it. Didn't know why, didn't really follow up, but we were just told we couldn't do it. So we didn't do it.
Man, you know, it's crazy to see somebody, you know, of color today, you know, open up a dispensary. You know, that something that you would probably, like a motherfucker just selling weed on the street back then, man, was getting years. You know, it said that you had got 10 years felony probation.
Yeah, so for my first offense, my first time interacting with police was after 8 years.
2005.
Yeah. Okay. I had been selling weed with 9 years. I started selling weed at 16. So 2005, I caught a case. One of the people I was buying product from snitched on me. When he told on me, I bailed out the same night, went back to what I was doing.
But was it your homie?
Yeah, he was my partner. Like I used to buy weed from this cat every Wednesday and every Sunday. Yeah. Like clockwork.
I guess that was the era when snitching like really started. When it really start getting going, the shit start. Now it just boils over. You got everybody telling, even on TV, tell you they're telling.
Yeah, the shit crazy. So snitched on me, bailed out, kept pushing, but it just was like, all right, I know what to do now. Like I never got caught because I just how I moved, and then getting caught and then having that 10 years of felony probation put on my name. Anybody riding with me can get searched.
Yeah.
My house, my car. Mind you, first offense, I ain't never had no issues with the law. And I had $80 worth of weed on me when they caught me and my pistol. But my pistol was registered.
Right.
So for
so
both
you was
of
good
those,
with that part of the deal.
I could have been good, but being that I had my clip in my pistol, because I had just, when the dude snitched on me, me and him, I didn't tell you this part. I bought weed from every Wednesday and Sunday, but me and him used to go to the shooting range on those Wednesdays. Yeah. Or it was a Thursday. Thursdays or Sundays.
So this motherfucker get him bust guns with before.
He dropped me off to my car, and I got pulled. They jacked me 5 minutes later.
Wow.
Yes.
See, man, I don't like shit like that, man. That shit right there really fucks with me, man. Is, you know, somebody that you fuck with, because I'm sure that you trusted him.
I did.
You know what I'm saying? You fucked with it, man. And then to find out, you know, because people need to understand something. Like, when you snitch and you think that nobody knows, you have to understand that your name ends up on that person's paperwork. They have to tell him who is making these allegations. Mm-hmm. So when you think that your ass is getting the fuck away, you're not. And everybody's gonna know.
I just posted my police report the other day. They tried to say it was anonymous, but yeah, I found out who it was. But like I say all the time, you know, you've been around me long enough to know, getting snitched on paid the fuck off. I would not have qualified to open my dispensary because I would have never caught a case. Had I never got snitched on, I'd have never got caught by the police for selling weed ever in my life because of how I sold weed. So it helped for him to snitch on me because I finally got what I've been wanting, a legal cannabis business.
Right.
It worked out.
How was it for you through the pandemic? I remember seeing something on the news. They had put you on the news because I know you done been on BBC. You done been on USA Today. You done did other things like that. Mm-hmm. But the way that you were on the news and this at this point wasn't a good point because I think that your cannabis club, they had broke into it and robbed it during the pandemic. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Tell me what that was like.
So 2020 was crazy overall for the cannabis business in general. Just with bad business practices. You got too much flour. People not willing to lower their prices. You got bad. It was just a lot.
So you was buying on. You buying weed from people? So like, you still got to buy weed from people?
You got to buy weed from distros. It's like a grocery store. So you still got to buy weed from people. So,
okay,
yeah.
I'm thinking that you know, hey, man, shit, you got the license to carry shit. You got the license to grow.
Oh, yeah. But, so
shit, let me get those in the bag. Hey, but man, let's get to digging, man. Let's get some cultivation.
So much weed that you got to sell that one grow up, even if I just grew weed just for my store, I wouldn't be able to supply enough.
You wouldn't be able to supply enough. Nah. So you're telling me you moving that much motherfucking weed?
I mean, not that I'm moving that much motherfucking weed, but you wouldn't be able to supply a store with just one grow up. You feel me?
Right, right, right.
2020. So I had a lot going on in 2020 that nobody knew about other than my wife and if he was like directly just in my circle. So 2020, I was getting robbed by my previous partner, Miss Moore. Nobody knew that. She was robbing my store. And
your fucking business partner was robbing you guys' store.
Mm-hmm. And then ran and opened.
She was stealing from herself.
Whatever. And when it opened another shop in another state. So while this was going on, I'm not knowing. Certain things that she changed when she took control of the finances, I didn't know about. And this is all going to lead to what happened. Okay. So we get robbed in May. George Floyd got murdered. We got robbed May 31st. May 31st, everybody in the cannabis space got robbed. I mean, they broke into all kind of shit. But I'm looking at the cameras, watching my store get raided for 6 hours by nothing but black people. So I'm just dumbfounded, like, damn, this is what y'all do. These all black people breaking in my store. So I got my partner robbing me all year. COVID come. COVID actually helped with cannabis because everybody was stocking up.
Right.
Everybody was buying up. That first week of COVID.
Must have been live right there, boy.
It was nice. When we officially
people
got
needed
put
that
on
toilet
lockdown.
Paper. People needed all the toilet people paper, weed. All the water, and all the weed.
Yes. The first 2 weeks
that's crazy.
In March was bananas. And they deemed us essential. So that was cool. But going
essential,
through
the, so they had deemed
cannabis was deemed essential. We was able to stay open throughout the whole process. But the combination of being robbed and the combination of the shit my partner did, I had to close. And a lot of people thought it was just due to COVID. And I'm like, nah, COVID was actually cool for us. I had to close because my partner ran us out of money.
Yeah.
And we got robbed and we had a lot of debt inside of that robbery that she didn't pay for.
Yeah.
So I got left with a big bag at the end. I had to find a new partner and I did. So it worked out, but I
so pretty much you had to find another investor to come in, help you clean up the bullshit that she did and then get the ball back rolling.
Exactly.
That's a lot.
That's a
lot,
bro.
That's a lot to go through.
That's
right
a
there,
lot.
Man. You know, and a due to your structure, it's I looked at your little sheet. I was like, you had a 4.0 average.
Yeah, I'm
man.
A nerd. I'm a street smart nerd.
You had a 4.0 average.
Still.
So this must have, so selling weed was something you obviously fucking had your heart set on.
Yes.
As a young kid.
I've wanted to open a dispensary since I was 19 and my granny took me to my first
dispensary.
Yes,
I saw that. Your granny, you went in, it says you went in for your granny.
No, actually, she went in. So this is hilarious.
I just take my medical marijuana card.
Yeah, she did, for glaucoma. I used to take my granny in for different, take her run her errands, whatever. She smoked weed, she grew weed, all the shit. But she never knew what she was doing. It was never good. But I knew 1999. She had me take her to a cannabis club on Telegraph and 19th in downtown Oakland. Yeah. I didn't know it was a cannabis club.
Yeah.
She came out, she had a white
bag. What year
was
this?
This was 1999.
So this was before, bro, weed was nowhere near legal then.
So it was Prop 215 day. So you could go into dispensaries then. That's when cannabis club, when people had cannabis cards, that's when they came out. They came out in 96. I was 16 then, didn't know nothing about them. 19, heard about them via my grandmother. She came out with her white bag. I said, Granny, what's that? She said, it's weed. I said, you bought weed out of a store? She said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, I want one of them. And she was like, if you ever get one, I'm going to be there every day. Now, mind you, she's passed, but my store is like 4 blocks from her house. You understand what I'm saying? Like, my store is in the same zip code I caught my case for selling weed in. Like, to be able to do that in East Oakland, from East Oakland, been selling weed in East Oakland since 96, getting snitched on paid off, cuz. It paid off.
You know, it's fucked up that you had to endure those type of things to go through, you know, just to even obtain that shit. Like, it's lessons, but people need to understand that with pain does come those lessons. And if it hurt that fucking much, you just won't ever put yourself through that type of shit no more. You know what I'm saying? It's fucked up, man, because I don't like hearing that type of shit. Motherfucker got to get snitched on, rolled on, fucking just the absolute fucking most before they can actually just get a break, man. I'm proud of you, man. Just man, to see somebody man. That's
likewise,
black,
man.
Somebody that's black or just even of another color being able to go and own a store, and they tell you that you were never going to be able to get one or have one. You know, man, that says a lot about your character, man. You know, and just what you were willing to push through. You know,
I ain't got no choice. I mean, they don't know, but you know me.
Yeah.
And it's like
the
shit that we go through just as black people in general.
Yeah.
And then now that we in this space that's dominated.
Yeah.
Can I say this? Dominated by crackers, but. Yeah. We all locked up for it. You know what I'm saying? We all got the cases for it, and we only represent less than 2% of the owners in the space. No, that's foul. No. And I'm competing with brands. Most of these brands I'm going up against with their stores got like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stores. I'm one store, and I'm competing with them. You understand what I'm saying? So it has to be more. It can't just be me.
Do you plan on expanding?
Oh, hell yeah. Definitely.
Where you been looking at?
Chicago, D.C., the whole DMV area, New York. I've looked at Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Florida. Wherever they have legal cannabis, I'm trying to come. I own my IP, so it was good that my partner did the shit she did, because now I own 100% of my store and all the intellectual properties for Blunts and More. So I can franchise just by saying, hey, let's partner up, let's franchise. You give me a royalty fee, you give me my franchise fee, and 5% of the ownership, and I'm out your hair.
Her doing what she did to you, you know, your partner, does that fuck you up to where you'll never go into partnership with, like, you know, somebody else, like, you know what I'm saying, of our structure again, you know, because, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I noticed that, and, you know, this is off race, nothing, but it's just funny to see that, you know, us as black folks, we'll show up on time for the white man, you know, and no offense, because I love white people, man, nothing against them, you know what I'm saying, I got a lot of white, I love my white friends, I do, man, I fucking do, but I noticed that us, it's a problem for us as black folks, we'll show up for the white man on time, we'll do everything that he tells us on time, but when we come working for another brother or working for another person that's of color, I notice that we show up late, we start taking little shit, we don't never really respect it as we should, man. And that's where I think that we get a lot of shit fucked up at today, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm super positive. I cannot dwell on negative. If I dwell on negative, the negative is going to keep coming. It's going to be a negative downward spiral. I'm a positive person. So the shit she did to me, I had to own. I met this woman September of 17. We had a license January of 18.
There's not much research I couldn't really do. Yeah,
but
you didn't know her too long, loved one. And you know what? Maybe that's where you gotta take that fault.
Yeah.
Is because you might have jumped in the pot with somebody you didn't really know nothing about just yet. Yep. You know, so when you say 2007, I'm like, fuck, that was just not too long ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And y'all kind of just jumped in the next year. Like, fuck, that's like getting married. That
I'm going to tell, tell you what,
Sharp. Slow the fuck up.
I'm going to tell you what. It was meant for that to happen that fast and go through that lesson because Yahweh put them in my path for me to get where I'm at and them to be gone. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I can't be like, oh man, fuck that bitch. Like the day of, so the day that we found out that she had a whole nother dispensary, I was set to give her about $45,000 and let her walk away and I was going to eat all the debt, right? Mm-hmm. We already was finna
agree to it. How much was the debt? How much was the debt?
The total debt that I ended up coming to, I can't say exact amount, but anywhere between $2 to $2.5 million. And that's vendor debt and vendors meaning paying our people that grow our weed or whatever.
Right.
And also tax debt. She stopped paying taxes. So
she just quit all the way around on you. Like she gave up before you even knew it.
Before I even knew it and had opened a whole nother shop.
Oh, so she was waiting for the cookie.
Yeah,
she, I like that, to crumble.
Yeah. But she was part of it crumbling, so it just made no sense. It makes
Cookie
it,
Man. She was prepared for the cookie to crumble.
And she was part of the crumbling, which didn't make no sense. So, all that to say, like, I have to own my fault in that, in the sense of I didn't know them enough to even do this type of deal with them. But the way stuff happened so fast, it had to happen. But again, it was meant for it to happen that way because I'm supposed to be the owner of the store. I'm supposed to have a dispensary. But that was my way to get in. And I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know, like, they came with the knowledge that I thought they had and come to find out they really didn't. Once the ball was put in their court for them to handle the business as the business, they couldn't do it. And instead of them just saying, Tucky, we can't do it, they started accusing me of having sex with the staff. They accused me of stealing.
Wait. Who accused you of having sex with the staff?
My previous partner and her mama. Yeah,
your wife didn't want to beat her ass?
My wife was sitting right there when they said it. We was all at lunch, and they accused me of fucking staff members in front of my wife. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It was all bogus, but it was to keep me out of the store so I couldn't be like looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And these are sisters. I don't know if y'all noticed. Now, this is a sister. We ain't talking about this is no white person. This is a black woman and daughter. So for me, I was kind of like, damn, this really what we doing? But it was meant for it to happen. They would put in my life to give me this dispensary and then move the fuck on. And that's what it is.
But see, it almost came to a point to where she didn't, the way the story was explained to me, it doesn't seem like she expected you to thrive. She kind of expected you to crumble. She took everything that she wanted to take out of the business without you even knowing, and she made sure that she left a fat ass bill. Mm-hmm. She stopped paying the taxes, everything. But when she's in your face, she's letting it be, oh, everything's taken care of. Yes. Everything is great, smiling in your face. But really, she was hoping for the cookie to crumble.
Yeah.
And it is good to see that. I hope that wherever that bitch is, bitch, I hope your shop burn up allegedly. I don't know. I
it's
hope
already
that motherfucker good.
No, it closed on last
Thursday.
Because
see, what goes around, let me tell you something, man.
Karma come fast.
Karma's
good or bad.
Karma's not a bitch. It's a mirror.
Hey,
karma is not a bitch.
Hello,
it is a mirror.
Hello.
And we'll go around, come around, man. That shit right there be scandalous as fuck,
dude. And I, you know, like people that know,
like
I don't deserve,
man.
Shit like
I don't
that.
Like snitching, and I don't like people doing people dirty like that.
I don't do that. You know, like everybody knows me. Like they're like, damn. Like the people that's finally hearing it, because I have legal things that I can't say about everything they did because that's the deal we signed. But like they was wrong, and I'm like, a couple. I'm gonna say maybe a month, 2-3 months later, I wanted to know why did y'all do that? But I don't care. I know the why. It was meant for them to do that so I could be in the position that I am now talking to you about it. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
So right.
It is what it is. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere.
Man, I know that you got kids, man. What do your kids say when they go to school and it be like there everybody's talking about, oh, well, my dad does this. And you know, my dad does this. Oh, my dad owns a construction company. Oh yeah, my daddy sell weed.
Hey.
My dad, and she tell all the little kids that you know. Hey, yeah, my daddy sell weed. Everybody up in there talking about building blocks. She ready to teach you how to put this eighth together.
That's
in the bag.
Heck of funny. So was
how
crazy.
How does that feel like your kids to go to school and like you know their parent being pretty much a legal
So
drug dealer.
It feels great to say it legally.
I like that drug lord shirt, by the way.
Shout out to Atlanta Biz Clothing. Shout out to Atlanta. Oh, shout out to DJ Baby Brother, too. I had to get
I like
that,
that drug lord.
This,
I like
this,
that.
This is dope. This fits. Yeah. But my kids have known I've sold weed as long as they've been on this earth. Ooh. So, but I always had a job. So they could always say, hey, he works for Alameda County, or hey, he does this. Oh, he details cars. So it was cool. But now for them to be able
so
to
so you were selling weed. You sold weed.
And always worked. I kept it 9 to 5. You have to.
So you know what I'm saying? So you sold weed the whole motherfucking time, all the way up until, like, you never gave up in it.
No,
you
never like stopped. Well, technically I retired in like 2015. But I still got my.
That's when you opened up your dispensary?
No, that's when I just got tired of selling weed because I wanted a dispensary. Like, I was just tired. Like, man, it was like, it was no. The goals I had for me selling cannabis weren't being reached. So it was like I was literally just, you know, making my money on flipping, which was cool. I made good money, but it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to be a store.
Dude, so when you go pick up your kids, back to that.
Yeah, that's what we did. So
when you go pick up your kids from school, nobody. Looks at you funny.
No,
or
so that's what I was going to say. So
nothing. Like, you don't have no problems. I'm sure
kids,
everybody knows, man.
Dude, most of my kids' friends' parents smoke or eat edibles or dab.
Oh, so when they see you, so they got a smile on their
man,
face.
Man, it'd be so funny.
My
kids be like, hey, Dad, hey. My friend's parents went to the store. Here go the picture. They then went to the store. Like, no, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I was on my daughter.
Wow, that's amazing, bro.
My daughter had a fucking... you know, the online open house or whatever, whenever teacher, conference with her teacher.
Right.
And I forgot that my Zoom, you know, it's all based on all my brands. So I got my cartoon character with the blunt, you know, my Tucky Blunt character, right?
So you up in here with a whole bunch of diverse people.
Dude, we get on, no, it's just me and the teacher and my daughter, but we get on the Zoom, I forget my face is the cartoon. So I could see her face looking like, because I was supposed to be on live. I said, oop, let me take that off. She started cracking up. She's like, oh, no, I don't mind, but it's just... No one minds. This ain't the 60s no more. You know what I'm saying? You can say your dad sells weed legally and it's applauded. You know what I'm saying? So that's the question. That's the answer to the question. It's applauded.
Well, like, to see back in the day, we were talking about it. People were getting 20 years, 30 years for having over an ounce or having a pound of weed on them to something today. If it's just in your house, the police come up in there, man, they're going to overlook that shit.
Right. I mean, now they need to just release people that's in jail for it. Like, if you're making money off of this, you got people that's in the government that put people in jail for selling cannabis now on boards of cannabis companies.
Do you think the government, and I'm asking you, do you think the government's happy with a person of your color, of our color? Do you think that the government's happy with you owning one, honestly, owning a dispensary?
I don't think the government is happy with anything anybody is doing.
Right.
But this is America KKK, so I can't, you know, I can't worry about what they're going to do. I know federal legalization is around the corner. It has to be done right, meaning we got to be in the room helping them craft the laws. But it's inevitable. They see this money cash cow to them, and they're just trying to dive in. But it's a way to approach it. You really got to approach this shit like
well,
the hustle.
What do you think they need to change? I mean, they've legalized it. They've made sure that anybody that's fucking at the age of 21, and I think they're going
to
change that fucking law soon.
To 18.
I think they're going to change it to 18 and just let motherfuckers just go up in there and run up in there. But see, you have to understand something. See, I had a medical marijuana card back in the very beginning. And I'll give the game into why I kind of did it. I was about to get ready to go on some paperwork, but I knew I smoked weed. So what I did was, before I got on paperwork, I went and got me a medical marijuana card. You know, I go get me one, you know, so I'm smoking, you know. So to see...
It's come a long way in the since it's been legalized, and I'm thankful for that. I tell people that all the time. Like, you got to think about it. You're talking to a dispensary owner that was arrested for selling weed. So it's come a long way. But in order for it to go the next step that it needs to go, where the taxes are done right, the regulations are done right, the state-to-state commerce is done right, like, I'm going back to the school days. States should be able to control what they do. That's why you have checks and balances.
I remember when the state of Nevada... The state of Nevada first legalized marijuana that weekend alone, and because it's popped up on a Friday. That weekend alone, they made, I want to say, $3.7 million in a weekend.
I used to go to just off get of, just thrown off of under weed. A jail for this in Nevada.
Yeah, like, you get thrown under the jail for a fucking joint. You know what I'm saying? So to see them now, they have no problems with it. Once, let me tell you something. I think the government has no problems with... telling with anybody doing anything if they know how to tax it.
Yeah, of course.
They just don't, they're just trying to figure out how to tax things because they don't really know how. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get a grip on marijuana, which is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So they're just trying to do one thing at a time. They've seen that this makes money. This is a very lucrative business.
Indeed.
People like yourself have been knowing of this for many years. Bam. And I don't think that you can, I'm not saying people can't, but I think it takes years of knowledge like yourself to be able to even say, hey, I own one today. That's why you're humble. Did you think 20 years ago or 15 years ago, you would be one of the first black?
Hell no.
One of the first black.
Nope.
Not just one of the dispensary owner, but one of the first black dispensary owners. I'm sure that shit was hell.
Definitely didn't expect
that shit was different. I know they looked at your ass different when you walked in them buildings.
Mm-hmm. Looking when we were doing our partner investments and going around, people emailing not knowing that I was black, but then seeing me like, oh shit, this is a nigga. Yeah, just that same nigga. I type 90 words a minute. I'm very intellectual. I'm educated. Like, I'm not just a dumb nigga. You know what I'm saying? I have business savvy. I know how to get in these rooms. I can talk to you white and I can talk to you right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy for me. And they put I'm put in the right position. They put the right person here. I didn't sign up for a sharp. Like, I didn't plan on being like the face of social equity and all. Nah, did not.
I think all the real ones, like all the real moguls, all the people that have really had success, they never, they'll say that, man, like, I didn't ask for this shit. Mm-mm. It just kind of comes about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you build up to that moment because it took this feeling of owning a dispensary today. Hell, being on No Jumper, sharpest podcast in the world.
Yes, yes.
Like, probably not.
Nah.
Some years back. Like, you know what I'm saying? But to be here today, you have elevated your game, my man.
Bro, even with you just, you know, hitting me about even coming down here, like I was telling people off camera, like, I was reposted when you came here, reposted all your, like, I fucked with when you told me you was coming here. I was dumb excited, like, it was me, like, I felt good for you. So to have you come call me to share your platform, you know what I'm saying, a part of the platform that you're a part of with me, like, yeah, no, like when you're talked about in rooms that you're not in, that's a good thing. So the reason why, when people ask why you was able to stay open, why you was able to do this, how you was able to come back, it's the resiliency and having friends like you, like having people that know my character, know my work ethic, know how to do the same shit that I do for you. I talk about you when you're not around. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to have that kind of friendships and network and just, it means something. And that's why I'm able to still be here, because I'm that kind of person. If I was on some fuckboy shit, I wouldn't still be here, dog. You know what I'm saying? That shit don't last long.
Right.
So,
no, I just, listen to me, man. It isn't really that. I got a lot of people that I've talked to, I've had the pleasure of meeting, but I've never really been around a bunch of people to watch them really start from the bottom. You've always been invested into the marijuana business, into the industry. And we've known a lot of niggas. We've known a lot of motherfuckers, bro, that have everybody sell weed or I'm the best, or he might get it up. But to see somebody say, hey, man, I've been really solely invested in weed.
Yeah.
For as long as I can remember, went into one of the first dispensaries, because I'm sure there was only probably one, maybe two in your city at that time back in 1999. Probably wasn't a lot of dispensaries moving at that time because it wasn't really, it was frowned upon.
Oakland had back then 4, Berkeley had 2, Hayward had hell of them. That was the spot where Hayward, that's where I met the cookie lady at. How my name's the cookie man? I met her at a fucking...
How did you get the name cookie man, honestly? Ooh, that's a funny motherfucking name, man.
And it's spelled different.
It's
so,
like, you want a cookie?
So cookie
you
man,
like,
C-O-O-K-E-Y. That came from, I came back from Alabama, and I went to Alabama State for a year. From 2001.
So you are really a nerd.
Honestly. Yeah, I'm really a nerd. I left Oakland, stopped trapping, and was like, I'm finna go to Alabama State. Me and my sister graduated high school, and I was like, hey, whatever college you get into, I'm gonna go with you. I was bored. Like, I had money. I was just like, I don't even know why. I was 19. I was 20 going on 21. And I got accepted. She didn't. I went out there, kicked it. Me and 2 Chainz used to smoke every day. That's when he was titty.
You talking about 2 Chainz?
I'm talking about Epps. His name was Epps back then. That was Epps.
Yeah.
That was Epps at the quad.
Talking about 2 Chainz.
Yeah, 2 Chainz, titty boy. So I come back 2002. I start back going to cannabis clubs. Mind you, I started going in 99. So I come back. It's a big in Hayward. I'm buying hella weed cookies. I would buy them, take them to my homeboys, and we would eat them and see how they would do us. We'd buy carrot cake. Well, no, we'd buy chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, ginger snaps. So one day I'm at
all that shit's nasty. I wouldn't even have ate none of that.
But wait,
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro.
They tasted like weed dirt, but we were high as fuck. I'm talking about
y'all was probably smoking stress. Listen, what year was this?
Oh no, stress. No, I've never smoked stress ever.
Stress.
Nigga, you can ask anybody
you
on
was
my
smoking stress.
Nigga,
what year was this?
This was 2002. Nigga, I was never
nigga,
even
you
smoked
was smoking
Bammer.
Stress.
Ask anybody that know Tucky
never.
Blunt.
You never had a never dime bag when nobody was looking
no
and just needed
brown,
to...
no seeds.
Man,
ask anybody that know.
Me,
take a survey. Take a survey.
Stop
right.
Playing with me.
Ask
nigga,
anybody.
I'm gonna go pull your card.
Please
I'm gonna find out.
Please do.
I'm gonna find out.
Try.
Do y'all know Cookie Man?
Ask anybody to know
nigga
Alfonso
never blew
Blunt
a
Jr.
This nigga never
my last
blew.
Name is Blunt. I gotta keep fire.
This nigga never blew a stress and blessing.
Never. Ask him. I'm from East Oakland. We purple. I smoke nothing but purple. So that this will all go to
I
the
remember
cookies.
When y'all was pushing. Hey, I remember, you know, the first purple I ever smoked came from y'all. It was Hardball Perp.
Oh, yeah.
Hardball Perp was the top of the motherfucking line dime. I remember when that shit, man, they motherfuckers wanted 150 for a quarter.
And that's how I made my money. So look though. So I'm in the shop. I'm telling the dude, I say, hey, bro, these cookies is good. They get us, you know, they get us high. I said, but they taste like dirt and they hella crunchy. He said, well, Mr. Blunt, the lady that makes them is right there. I said, oh. I went and hollered at her, white lady. Shout out Erica. Capricorn. I end up hitting her. I said, look, man. All my niggas smoke purple all day. We all, back that time, I was a 4X, so I'm like, we all 250 or better. The cookies is strong, but I want to, like, take this and really do something with it. She said, well, my test dummy is, like, 6'6", and he a big
so
white
boy. So what you
boy.
Was doing? You was making edibles and
I
shit?
I was buying them from her. Cookies, carrot cakes, banana nut bread, chocolate cakes, oatmeal raisin, ginger snap, oatmeal cranberry. I buy them from her and then resell them. With my weed. So you get combo packs. I'd have a menu. You can buy you a for weed and two cookies.
So so you can get your sweets and your treats.
So once like I seen that I could do it, once I seen that it was actually selling from 03 to 04, I just kept building it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start calling myself the Cookie Man. So I made a logo, started calling myself the Cookie Man. Back then I was throwing parties
so
in
So you
Oakland.
Disguised yourself.
Yeah.
You disguised yourself through sweets.
Yeah. And was trapping.
So motherfuckers knew, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's the cookie man
that's
right
cookie
there.
Man. I used to walk around clubs eating cookies, nibbling off cookies, walking around. Like, I was known as, like, a whole movement in the Bay Area from the Cookie Man. And this was way before Cookies the Strain. Like, a lot of people think, oh, well, you stole from Cookies. No, I was
that
doing
wasn't
this.
Even the that true meaning. The, that wasn't even the meaning.
That wasn't even the meaning of it.
Right.
I was talking about weed pastries.
Right.
And when I came
on
online to the game shit in 03, I was Cookie Man. My profile been Cookie Man since 2003. COOKEY.
Man, to have some bomb back in 03, like to really have some real true smoke.
400 zip. I was spending 400 zip back then.
What was you having? What flavor?
So.
There I don't even mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
But I'll say the flavors that I knew was around because I'm from the West Coast too, man. Mm-hmm. So I knew what was really going on. Mm-hmm. You had Master.
Mm-hmm.
You had fucking Purple.
Mm-hmm.
You had OG.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, that's all the ones that I really remember that was just the top creme de la and some Jack hair, but didn't nobody want to smoke that shit. That shit tastes too chemical. That shit tastes like chemicals.
And that time frame, like I said, I started in 96. Back then, it was just good light green. It didn't really have no name.
Well, there was Pretendo, too. You remember Pretendo?
See, I'm telling you, we didn't...
Tell me.
I'm telling you, my mama and daddy palates made me how I am. Now, my daddy palate is a little... He can take a little bit of the cheaper. My mama is a straight, if you give her some Bammer or some not, she's gonna call you on it. And that's what palate I come from. My bro, I've never ever smoked boo-boo. Yeah. I've never had to. I've always kept some shit that was 400 zip. So back then in 96, it was light green. It started evolving to the purple around like 99, 2000. Is when Purple hit the scene for me, and it was on.
Granddaddy Purp.
Granddaddy hardball.
And Hardball. Because I remember the Hardball from the Bay, man. I remember a few cats that used to move that shit, man. And I'm going to tell you, that shit was splendid.
Hey, I used to get mine from one of my good friends.
I was paying 150 for the quarter.
Hey,
150. I mean, this is, I'm in other places. I mean, shit, right. I'm not out in the motherfucking bay. I'm not right there next to the source. So, you know, right. Shit, we was paying 150.
Who was taxing?
I remember a motherfucker used to charge motherfucking one. He would charge 150 for a 6 grammar of Master Kush.
Sheesh.
6 grams. $150 you ain't getting out of it. And he was one of the only cats that was moving the shit.
I believe it.
For real, man. So I remember the transition of weed. I watched it. I watched it go from Stress to Pretendo to Chronic to now we're starting to touch into a whole nother different realm. You know what I'm saying? We're touching purples and we're touching now shit. They got flavors to all types of shit. Mm-hmm. You ever tasted that blue Zushi from Timco?
I have. You ever had the bubble gum?
Yeah.
Bubblegum go.
They shit but is slapping.
A lot of people don't realize.
How is your weed from your dispensary? Is it all top shelf? Man. Does it stand up with some of the elite?
You tell me. I'm not putting simple my fucking green face on it if it's simple not green. If it's some bullshit, dog. Like
this, Simply Green all-purpose cannabis. So California stank on us. So does this have a mixture of weed or does this have, you know what I'm saying? Is this just one solid strain? Because I don't know if this is a mix, it's an all-purpose.
Nope. So I do one solid strain. I pick two or three and put them in the bag. And it got to smoke good, taste good, get you high. That's all that matters.
So this bag right here, it contains 3 different type of weed.
Nope, it contains 1. But I have 3 different flavors that come in this bag. I just put the different flavors on the bag. You actually have a batch that nobody has. This is something that's going to drop next.
Let me see, man. Yeah, can please. I be that? Can I be the one? That, man, can I smell
man,
your weed?
You can do it. That's yours, actually.
Hey,
that's your weed, actually.
Hey, man. Well, you know I'm damn sure going to put it to the test.
Yes, please. Hold on, let me get y'all comments or whatever, please find somebody that can tell me I've ever smoked or sold them some bullshit. If it's not an 8.5 on my scale, I'm not even selling it to nobody. And what's crazy, Sharp, I'm bad for selling weed on the turf. I'm going to tell you why. When you come to me back then, I have 5, 6, 7 different flavors, right? So if you pull up on me on the turf, I'm showing you 5, 6 different flavors. That's not set up for turf weed for sales. It's supposed to be in and out. So that's why I never was on a turf because the way I sold weed wasn't meant for a turf. I want to have an interaction with you. Yeah. I want to come in, drop off 3, 4 flavors. You look at them, pick the ones you want, smoke a couple of them with me, then pay me, and then I'm leaving. That's how I did my thing.
Well,
and it's
hopefully
worked.
Because, you know, that's the only way I grab my draw. But I'm going to say this. Cookie, and this is serious. Before we get out of here, this is a serious question for you, a deep question. Yep. I want to know what does it feel like to go and stand on the corner that you got today that you got arrested selling weed.
Honestly, it feels great. I literally got arrested on my turf in front of my granny house.
When's the last time you stood over there and just
I go over
reminisce?
There once a week. I was over there reminiscing with my daddy the other day. Like, because my daddy still owns the house. Like, I've had the Klepper Show came and filmed me over there before. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a whole little setup shoot. Like, it feels great. Like, I stand there a lot and reflect on my car, where it was parked at that day, or my other car was parked at that day. What time the dude dropped me off, how the same cop who arrested me that day in 2005, right? Mm-hmm. Man, this is deep. Same cop that arrested me in 2005. We going down to the police station.
You good, bro.
We going down to the police station that night. And he trying to give me the snitch. I'm like, man, I ain't got nothing to say. Take me down there or whatever. I say, man, I start work for the Alameda County on that Monday. He arrested me on Thursday. I'm like, I start work for Alameda County that Monday. He like, yeah, right, whatever. First day at lunch, Alameda County. 400 Broadway, I'm walking out the building. Who coming up the stairs? My arresting officer. Now, wait. We fast forward 18, however many years later, we get robbed. When we get robbed, I tell you we get robbed, right? Mm-hmm. The next day, we on the phone, all the dispensary owners, with the OPD, because OPD didn't come protect us. Mm-hmm. The captain of OPD is on that call. It's my arresting officer. That same arresting officer is the same cop who helped me get my record clear. I'm no longer a felon because the same cop who arrested me in 2005. He called the DA for a favor and got my record clear. That's the type of shit I'm on. Who does that? Who gets arrested by a cop and the same cop helps him get that fucking record clear 20 years later? I meant to do this shit, but I ain't going nowhere.
Damn. You got your firearm, you got to get
everything,
reinstated for your
everything.
Firearms and everything. That's unheard of.
Bruh. And I had my firearm. When he jacked me, I was registered then, but I lost all that because I caught the felony case. He called the DA and helped me get my shit back. all I had to do was sign two papers. Shout out Randy Wingate, my arresting officer. Shout out Ursie Joyner, my other arresting officer, who now is part owner of High Times in Oakland. So now he's working in the cannabis space. Oh, man. You can't write this shit.
You can't write it. You can only live it. I'm gonna say this, man. You got anything for us, man, before we go, man? Because that got man, deep. Because I'm gonna say this, because I want to be able to bring you back, and I want to be able to open you up again. You know what I'm saying? And just you even just walk us through that time.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? Of when that had happened and why that happened.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying?
For my kids. All I'm gonna say is thank you. Thank the whole platform. Adam not here. Everybody that's behind the scenes. I don't want to say nobody's names, but thank y'all. Blunts and More, we open 7 days a week, 701 66th Avenue in East Oakland, California. Same zip code I was arrested in. Actually, the same zip code that's been on my ID all my life, 94621. I'm selling weed, still in the same area.
It's crazy that you're still selling weed right where they got you.
Right where they got me.
Man, can't nobody say nothing to you today.
They protect me now.
They protect you now. That puts a smile on my face that the same people that jacked him up, man, is protecting him.
So, I don't know, I just, man, support black cannabis. Google me. Like, I'm always talking positive. I'm taking clients for consulting.
And your weed does smell pretty good, by the way.
Come on, bro, we finna, man.
I ain't gonna lie, man.
He know I smoke nothing.
You brought me a joint one time that was suspect.
He lying. But,
but hey, man, yeah, no, this Simply Green right here, it smelled real good.
That's
Cookie,
me.
Man, I appreciate Love you, man, bro. Coming you down here, know. Man. Appreciate and hopefully you. We can get you back here soon. You hear me?
LA, my second home. You say the word.
Sharp, Cookie Man, No Jumper, sharpest podcast in the world, baby. And we out. Church.